What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by The Club, the number one streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother DJ Strizzy on the podcast. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people who you are and where you're from?
What's good? My name is DJ Strizzy. I'm from Morgantown, West Virginia.
Awesome, brother. Really glad to have you on the show. We're here on the My DJ Story podcast where we want to hear your story of your life as a DJ in the industry. So please talk to us about what sparked your interest in becoming a DJ and tell us a little bit about the early days of your journey.
I guess I was always around it. My dad was a DJ first, and then I got to West Virginia University at the time, the number one party school in the nation. And that was it. Started going to the clubs and quit going to class. And here we are 20 years later.
That's a fun story, man. I would love for you to dive deeper into that journey. You know, when you got started in that party scene, were you DJing at that time or did the DJing come later?
It was always kind of there. I started actually doing it in high school, but then didn't have no tables or nothing. Was just straight up using Sony Discmans, I think. And then we had tape decks and we had one turntable and house speakers. That was me and my boy Seneca. We were in 11th grade and 12th grade. And then, like I said, once I got to college, it kind of grew. I met the man that was the man here and still the man here. And we sparked a friendship and he started teaching me from there, and rest is history.
Awesome, brother. This is super exciting, man. You know, what are some things that you kind of were able to get out of that early experience? You know, you jumped right into it. Great party scene. You had some friends that were also DJs as well. What are some things that you were able to kind of learn right out the gate that kind of helped you propel in your journey?
Probably is getting paid for it. I shouldn't be drunk as much. I found out quickly that it was actually an art to it and was trying to keep that art alive. The weird thing is I started with a computer and then went to CDJs and then the turntables. So I did everything a little bit backwards. So I learned the art a little bit backwards than most people and went from there.
You know, that's amazing insight. It's really important that you see your DJing not just as a hobby, but as a business or art that, you know, can be something that can bring you revenue, bring you income, and can really be something sustainable for your livelihood. So here at The Club, we love to talk about the business of DJing because that's what we do. We help you make more money, help you build your brand, and really get you going forward in the industry, man. I would love to talk a little bit about your brand, DJ Strizzy. You know, how did you get that name and kind of what does that branding mean to you?
A friend of mine named me that back in like sixth or seventh grade. If you remember the old school Death Row days, Snoop Dogg, Dog Pound, all them, it was Striz 8 and everything else at that time, 92, 93, showing age. And he named me that and it stuck. And then my mother-in-law gave the company name of Spinning Ain't Easy, and I was trying to separate the two because Strizzy is really raw and can play some of the dirtiest stuff in the world. But the Spinning Ain't Easy side is the side I do for the weddings and stuff, and I keep that side clean. So I actually have two personalities there.
Nice, man. And talk to me a little bit about what you do in your DJing that kind of stands you out as a DJ to kind of build that brand. When someone hits up DJ Strizzy, what does it mean and what kind of experience are they going to get?
The one thing that most people ain't going to like, if it's a hit record, I ain't playing it. Every other DJ in the world is playing that. I like to play stuff that you ain't looking for and probably stuff you've never heard. So I'm a firm believer, if I got to play only the hit records to make you dance, I ain't doing my job.
I hear that, man. It's really a craft to be able to have great song selection, but also differentiate yourself because, you know, anyone can just see what the top 40 hits are and just kind of put out the bangers. But you can really tell a story using the type of music that you play. And that's super, super amazing that you understand that craft and have that uniqueness. So when people book DJ Strizzy, you're not just going to get any old music. You can get really curated music that are special that you're not going to hear typically at a normal DJ set. I love that, man. And that's something that stands out to you, brother. You know, what are some things that people should know about being a DJ? You know, there are different ways to be a DJ. You can be a DJ in the club, you can be on the radio, you can do private events. What are some areas that you've focused your time, and then just how do they differ?
Actually, all of them. I do every one of those things, plus festivals. My biggest right now is actually school dances. I flipped it back to that because I have a firm belief that up until you're 13 or 14 year old, you listen to your parents' music and that's all you know. And when you come to my dance, I'm going to introduce you to stuff you ain't never seen in your life, and your parents are going to be scared to death. So I like to do that. And just to let people know there's something else out there. Do a lot of remixes of stuff. I don't know what else. Just like for people to know, I like to get loose, you know, just do my thing, play something a little different. I was a weird kid, so I like some weird stuff, and I like to introduce other people to that weirdness.
Awesome, brother. No, that's great, man. And I think that you're doing a really great job at just what you do and highlighting the different areas in DJing. You know, you're doing a lot of the school dances, and you're bringing a different flavor for the school kids and such like that. So keep up the great work. I'm super excited to hear, you know, a little bit more about your story. But before we do that, we're going to jump to a quick commercial break to pay the bills. And when we come back, we're going to hear about some of the things you've been working on in the past couple of years and such. Okay. And we're back to the My DJ Story podcast with my brother, DJ Strizzy. We're here talking about his amazing journey in the DJ industry. And we would love to talk to you about, you know, some of the things that you're focused on now and how you can really take this moment that we're in and make something special out of it. A lot of people have been struggling as a DJ in this time, but you seem to have figured it out and find places and opportunities to still conduct your business. So talk to me about, you know, just what you've been doing recently and how you've been navigating through these difficult times or just different times that we're in.
Well, it's been a struggle here too, but the one thing that changed everything is the internet, as we all know. So Twitch has been a great tool for me to actually switch things up for people to see me that would never see things that I do. Going back to the live shows, trying to get back into the school dance thing and get that back up and running, which actually is going well for the last couple of weeks. And then festivals. I think I'm kind of growing to do the behind the scenes thing a little bit more. I think that's going to be where the art kind of goes to at this point, and try to give some of the younger ones a chance to get there. I do a festival called Big Dub Candy Mountain. And I think that's like one of the biggest festivals on the East Coast. It's like not a corporation running it. So we're getting ready to set that back off again. And I run a stage. I'm actually off this year. Don't have to run the stage this year, but I will be doing the DJ battle competition and letting everybody else get a chance that to play at that festival. And the prize is you get to open up on the main stage if you win, and they won't let me enter.
I love it, man. No, that's pretty cool, brother. You really create a platform to put other people on, and that's super important. And that's something that we believe in tremendously here at the club, man. You mentioned live streaming and the important role that it's playing in this current climate of DJing. You know, talk to me a little bit about live streaming and how you've been using it to increase your business and your presence. You know, one of the DJs I interviewed a couple of weeks ago, he said that the live stream is a new mixtape. How do you feel about that statement, and just kind of what's your take on live streaming in this current environment?
I think it's a little bit more than a mixtape, because a mixtape you expected of certain things. The live streaming introduces you to the world. I'm in West Virginia. Nobody takes you seriously coming from West Virginia. And I've found people that found me. I get more people that are overseas. And as of right now, I actually do a live stream on a radio station in London. What's the chances of pulling that off? You know, and I'm spinning house music and drum and bass. So like, I keep hip hop kind of local more for me, for like schools and local stuff here. But I think it's given me a chance to expand the market. I got people following me that I would never get the chance to see me or take me seriously. So I got more people that want to come here and see what our clubs are like in Morgantown, West Virginia. And I'm like, if you don't want to do that, because I ain't there.
I love it, man. No, you really hit the nail on the head. The live stream allows you to be the mixtape, but at scale. You know, you can actually be anywhere in the world and people hear your music and also see it because there's the visual element as well. So there's more dimensions to it. But in regards to it serving the same purpose as the way that people share their music as a DJ, now you're able to see it in real time with the live streaming. So we're in really amazing times. What a time to be a DJ, as we say. And we just think that DJing has a great opportunity to play a tremendous role in the entertainment space right now, more than ever. And they play a super important role. School dances, private events, festivals, almost any public event that you see these days, and a DJ is involved in some capacity. There's a cornerstone of entertainment.
It gives them a chance to see you all, see who you are, because on the performance side, you're always 100% going out, no mistakes, and trying to be, you know, perfect. And with the live streaming, it kind of lets that back a little bit. You're there for hours. And the one thing it's teaching me is letting people see the other side and get to know you a little more personally. So I think that's a cool feature of it as well. And people get to see stuff that they never saw before, and they can ask questions and interact.
Love it, man.
I think that's a big thing too.
Are there any live streams that you're currently watching or you go to on a regular basis?
The best one, ain't nobody touching DJ Craze. That dude is just phenomenal. And one of the better ones that visually that I love is Lil Jon. He's been killing it. So they're both on Twitch.
So let's dive deeper into that. You know, tell me a little bit about what you see in DJ Craze and how he makes it such a great experience via live stream. Because we want to kind of hear what makes it great so other people can kind of take that information and try to apply it to themselves.
Man, you're gonna get me in trouble. Well, number one, ain't nobody that can touch him. If you ain't never seen this man on the turntables, he's ridiculous. It defies logic. And like to say you're gonna try to do some of the things that he does is just unreal. And I've seen him live twice. Actually, three times I've seen him live. And one of them, I was like feet away and just watching. And it's amazing to watch him do his thing. And then the festival that I'm talking about this summer, I'm the one opening up for him. We about to have a blast. But the one thing that I like that he does, he's another one that doesn't necessarily play everything that's mainstream. He does his thing, puts his spin on it, and he lets you know what people are out there doing stuff that might not be famous. And you hear a lot of stuff that you wouldn't hear nowhere else when he's playing.
Awesome, man. That's super important. And you really highlighted some of the things that cannot be replicated just by watching him. It takes a lot of skills. It takes a lot of energy and being able to perfect your craft. And then also you can never be someone else. You can imitate as much as you can, but it's always good to kind of create your own.
I've been on stage with some of the best. He defies logic. It's unreal.
And what about Lil Jon? What is Lil Jon doing that really stands out that makes it so entertaining?
Lil Jon is a party. He actually has great mixing skills as well, too. But he's giving you that Atlanta feel that you could only get if you were in Atlanta. And that's one of the things I like about him. I've heard a lot of stuff that wouldn't necessarily make it here. It wouldn't be big in the club, but he's playing it and putting it out there. And he's really good at that, too. And awesome. Then he's just Lil Jon. If you ever watch the old Chappelle show, that's him. And that's the way he is on his stream. And it's awesome.
Wow, man. I got to check him out. That's super awesome. And thank you for highlighting those two. I'm sure people are going to check them out after this. And also they want to check you out on your Twitch and any streaming platforms that you'll be on. So yeah, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us, man. I would love for you to kind of highlight, like I said, the things that you're doing, and then kind of just let us know what ways that myself, the club, our community, and the people listening can support you and be engaged with you.
Like I said, just trying to get back out there right now. The main thing that I'm trying to figure out how to do is the marketing. That is not my thing. I've always been, I spin records. The business side of the marketing side is probably the hardest thing for me, and trying to get that out there without being, okay, I'm old school. So old school style hip hop DJing was a battle, and that doesn't necessarily work in today's climate. You can't be against people. You got to be with them and join all together. So trying to learn that game is a little bit different. There's no more saying such and such ain't no good and I'll destroy them. That don't work no more. That'll backfire on you.
Collaboration is key today, not competition.
Yes. Yes. So opening up for different people and getting used to what they do and what their style is and trying to make it work with mine is probably the hardest thing, but the funnest thing at the same time. And been learning a lot of stuff from different people because of it.
That's great, brother. And do you have any parting piece of advice for people that are looking to get into DJing in this current environment?
Learn to count to four. Learn to count to four and do it twice. If it don't count at the same time, it don't sound good.
let's dive deeper into that so we can get some color as to exactly what that means. So talk about, you know, being able to count and how you're able to work that into your mixes so that way it sounds properly. Give us a little bit more color on that.
I think under actual music theory, they have you count to eight bars, I think it is. But 5, 6, 7, 8 is, it doesn't just roll off the tongue as easy as the 1, 2, 3, 4 for me. So I broke it down to a 4, and James Brown said you drop it on the 1. And as long as you drop it on that 1, and if them two things ride together, you can hear it. And I think mixing came out of it a lot, that people don't care about the mixing as much anymore. And I think it might be because they never seen it. And then being in a small town, that I think the mixing and the scratching and all that are big city things, and nobody expects to hear that in a small market and a small venue and everything else. The internet changed that. We don't have to leave our house no more and go to New York, Miami, or anything else. We can be right here and be just as good. And I think people need to understand that. And once they hear it and realize what's going on there, I think they have room to grow. If you don't get that fundamental basics of the mixing, you're not going to get nowhere.
Love it, brother. Man, at this time,
it ain't all about the best equipment either.
Exactly, man. Now you have to be able to get what works and then kind of work your way up. Don't take too much risk and buy it when you know, don't even know the basics, and you get the fundamentals down pack before you jump into too big of an investment. But yeah, no, great advice, brother. I think that this is super amazing. I got a lot of value out of this, and I'm sure our audience has as well. At this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
3 different ones. I got XDJ 1000s. I got Technique 1200s, got Neumark TTXs. And I use Pioneer S9, Pioneer 900, Nexus 2. According if I'm spinning house, drummer, bass, or hip hop.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Craze Mixmaster Mike.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Big Dub Festival. I get to let loose and play, be me for that hour. And then there was an event that we did called Electro Dash. I got to play for 5,000 people in Morgantown, which was awesome.
Who's the most interesting person you've met throughout your career as a DJ?
Craze, Mixmaster Mike, DMX, Tretch from Naughty by Nature.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
Probably the crowd. The crowd interaction. You don't get to see them as much. You get to see it in the chat, but not the actual crowd reaction.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Too many to name. I got my man DJ Distract, a dude named David Rain. He's the one that got us hooked up in London. If you get a chance, check out Quest London Radio. They got DJs from around the world just doing their thing. Oh man, that's a hard one to ask right now.
Hey man, we look forward to hearing those stories, and anyone that wants to be on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Personally, all the events right now are private except for Big Dub Festival, and then online, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, Instagram, all of them at DJ Strizzy, STRIZY1Z.
Awesome, brother. We're super excited to have you here on the My DJ Story podcast. This was a super exciting, energetic conversation. I really loved it, man. Thank you for spending time with us today. Everyone, please check out my brother, DJ Strizzy. He's doing it on all the live streaming platforms, and he's still doing some in-person events. So check him out, support him, and we appreciate you being a part of the club family and community, and we look forward to building with you further from here.
For sure.